Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're hearing from organizations working most closely with the community. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Julie Wendorf, Director of the Crown Point Library. Thank you for joining me, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
People know the library for books, right, and book resources, but the library offers so much more than just reading resources. Can you talk about some of the community programs you have going on right now?
Sure. We have just resumed some of our in-person programming indoors this month, but we have been doing outdoor programming since June of 2021. So we're really happy to have some in-person programming happening again. But we've been doing story times weekly at the Lake County Fairgrounds. At the Lake County Fairgrounds, and we've been doing some programming also at Winfield Park at the Randolph Street Park. So we've had some great response for in-person story time programming out there.
So most of your programming up until like maybe the last 6 months has been virtual, and has that been a first for the library, trying to move lots of your things online?
It was. When the pandemic hit, it was a major pivoting time for us in terms of kind of going to virtual programming. We had to get the equipment. We were not used to having any of the equipment, so we had to buy equipment to do videoing and learn the technique. We had to set up our own YouTube channel. These were all new things that we never really had to do before. So we were really lucky that we had staff that was really open and willing to learn to do those things, and we have great YouTube channel with tons of videos and lots of view time.
Could you share the channel URL for that YouTube channel if someone wanted to tune in?
Sure. Our YouTube channel is Crown Point Library.
Well, that's great. And you're doing video content on there. Is it book clubs or how-to videos, or could you talk about some of the content on there?
It's a majority of it is children's programming, so story time and other children's programming different for school-age children and such. But we also have adult programming, and we've had some how to use resources outside the library, especially when we were still closed to the public. So how to use the card catalog, how to access some of our resources digitally.
And I know that one of the things that you added during the pandemic was these mobile library carts, right, that would allow you to bring some resources outside of the library. Can you talk about the idea behind that and how you've been using them?
Sure. We were really excited to get a grant from the Lake County Foundations as part of their emergency response grant. And through that, we were able to add outdoor Wi-Fi at both of our locations. So at both Winfield branch and at the main location, we had 24/7 access to Wi-Fi. As part of that, we also created computing, what we call curbside computing carts. And those carts contained a computer, access to the internet, a printer and copier and scanning. So people could really take care of doing business outside the library. When it was not able to be in the library, they were pushed out every day, even before we were open to staff. But they were available during business hours outside so people could take care of essential business, which was really great. I got to meet some people that were out there applying for jobs and doing some stuff that they just didn't have any access at home to the equipment that they needed. So it was really great to see that happening.
Yeah, I think one among many things that the pandemic opened us up, opened our eyes to, is that technology gap that kind of exists in a lot of communities. We all think, oh, we have access to the internet on our phones or at home, and so many people still don't. It's hard for them to get Wi-Fi. And so those carts were essential to people who were looking for jobs or other help during the pandemic.
Exactly. The public library is always a place that helps ease that digital divide for people that don't have access. And, many people don't have a home computer at all anymore. They really exist only on their phones. Well, it's very difficult to fill out a job application or do some of the government websites that were required for unemployment or such on your phone. They're just not necessarily compatible with your phone. And then you also have to scan, sometimes print stuff, sometimes upload things. And that's not all possible on a phone. So we've always been that space for people. So when those people had no place to go, they didn't have a place to access those services. So we were really, really striving to make sure we had access to that those tools for them. But even people that have computers at home, we find a lot of those people come in print at the library. So they don't want to have to manage to have a printer at home and do all the stuff with ink and such. So they were not prepared to be able to even do that at home, even if they had a computer.
Well, I know when I was many years ago, when I was in middle school, before we had a computer, we had an electronic typewriter, and I would spend so many hours at the library. I have so many great memories printing, doing projects, and searching the internet in the early days of the internet. And so I know that the library has been able to be creative and find new avenues of using their space as more of a community space and just kind of new meeting new technology needs in that. And I'm sure even though the library has reopened, you're still finding uses for those cards.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting to see how we've had to adjust services. So some things were easy. Some things, you know, creating an online application for getting a library card when we were only digital, those took us just days. Other things took us longer in terms of creating a curbside delivery system in terms of when people could come in and get their library materials just at the curbside. Other things took a little bit more time, like creating our digital programming and creating all that kind of access to programming that we didn't have. Other things we started were things like the curbside craft kits, the take and make kits is what we called them. So that actually replaced some of the programming that we were doing with adults and with children. And to date, we last year we did over 10,000 of those kits, and this year we're already at 14,000. So those kits sometimes were paired with online programs. Sometimes they were craft kits for adults. But it was just an amazing outpouring of interest in this, and still is with our programming.
What kinds of activities were in there? I'm sure parents were looking for all kinds of activities to
keep
their kids
busy. Gosh, in the beginning of the pandemic, it was amazing because there was nothing to do. So people were really looking for things. So we had days that were dedicated to preschool activities. So it really kind of was a story time in a bag. Other days were school age programs. We had STEAM activities, experiments that can be done with just things that you could find around the house. But then we also had adult crafts that, you know, some of them learned macrame. They paired with our database for crafting. So we actually were able to use our database, and they could link to that digitally to learn watercoloring and other things. And we provided some of those supplies that they would need to do that at home. So it was just really a great way for us to get really creative with the resources we already had.
I'm sure you saved a lot of parents from, you know, those days when they were just like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
You know, after the child's been home sitting on the computer e-learning all day, or even during the summer when there were so many limited activities.
Sure.
Because of the pandemic. So I'm sure it really saved people.
One of the other unique things that we did was story walks. We've always had story walks in the windows of the Crown Point businesses, and then also in the green space in front of the library, and even at the branch in the windows of the other businesses in the strip mall there. So that's something we also accelerated. So we changed out those more often so people could actually get outside where it was safe to be, walk around, read a story, and get some exercise. So that was really something fun that we did too.
Describe that a little bit more. So are there specific stories with each business, or is there a page of a story?
It's just a page of a story. So what happens is that we buy multiple copies of the book. We actually tear it apart and because of copyright, and we have to assemble it back together. And so each storefront had a page. So you would stroll around and be able to read a page after page at the different locations. So it's a really fun way to get out and get some exercise and then also get some reading in.
Yeah, I think that's such a great idea for the businesses, too, that are participating. They get people at least walking by their businesses and gets people out and moving and reading.
So, exactly.
Triple threat.
Yes.
In addition to what we just discussed, I know that you are also offering some tax assistance. This might not be the time of year when people think about doing their taxes, but there are some special programs going on. And I know that you all have a grant to offer some special tax assistance.
Well, the Crown Point Library has been a place where we've always offered AARP tax assistance to low-income and elderly individuals in our community. Lots of libraries used to do this, and it's kind of been phased out. So we're one of the few libraries in the area that continue to do this. It takes a lot of time and effort and space and meeting rooms. In 2020, our tax services actually kind of ended prematurely because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But then we really came to a solution working with the AARP and their volunteers and the library to come up with a way to provide those services in the 2021 year. So we were able to, instead of what we normally did, is we had everybody come in for an appointment time and they sat in front of the AARP representative and did their taxes while they sat there. Because the AARP people didn't really want to be in the presence of all these people, what they did is they adjusted and we dropped off taxes one day during the week. They brought them home and worked remotely and did those mm-hmm. taxes, and then brought them back in later in the week and then passed them back out to the people. So it really worked really well. And I imagine that we'll probably do something very similar to it this year. And we were surprised that because of how they did it, we actually met the same expectations. I think we served about 250 people this past year. So it was just a different way to do it. We had to do appointments on the phone versus we usually do a mass sign up on one day where we have, 200 people showing up to get those first come first serve appointments. So we did it all on the phone this year. So that was really a different change for us. And we'll probably continue to do that in the future.
And if someone wanted to call and see how they could get that AARP tax assistance, what's the number they would reach?
They would want to call the main library, and that's 662-0270. And they would want to wait until probably into December, into January. Those appointments taking doesn't usually happen until February.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to share about some of the programming that you're offering?
I think it's really been a challenging time. I think any library director would tell you it's been a really challenging time to balance the needs of your community with the needs of your staff and safety. Everybody wants to get back to normal, but it's difficult to do that when we're waiting for children to get vaccinated and such. But we've really tried our best to make sure that we provided what the community needs at the time they need it. I'm really proud that we were able to give really unique ways to access library materials and programming during this time. And we did it in really creative ways. Some really neat things that we added that I haven't mentioned yet is a grant that we got for a book bike this year. So we were able to kind of extend our outreach, which we started in 2015, to festivals and to the farmers market and such. But we added that that book bike from the Crown Point Community Foundation grant this year so we can reach out to the community in a new, unique way. So we're really excited about that. So just lots of different ways that we have really, I think, worked creatively in a horrible situation to make life a little bit brighter and better for our community.
I would imagine in the years that you have been, how many years have you been with libraries?
I've been with the library for 11 years now and became a director in 2018. So it's just been a real challenge to have this major thing happen in the few first years of my directorship.
Yeah, I would imagine you could have not thought of this coming up, and you're coming on as the director. You think about the challenges that a library faces. Certainly a pandemic was not on that list, but I think you all have done beautifully and being creative, coming up with programs, bringing the library really outside and into the community when people couldn't come into the space.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really proud of that. I started at the library as an outreach librarian, the first one, before I became director, and I'm really glad that we were already really focused on outreach and getting outside the building, because we really got a jump start on that versus some of the other libraries in the community, because we were used to doing it. So we're really excited to continue and kind of grow that service out into the community.
Yeah, what does the year ahead look like?
Looks like trying to get a little bit more normalcy. I think we're starting some indoor programming in person for children. So we are doing that by registration only and making sure that the situation is safe with social distancing and masking with children. But we're hoping to really meet that need with the preschool audience that might not necessarily be getting any early literacy programming because of maybe they're not in preschool or they're not in, of course, regular school. So we've been really focusing our attention on that preschool audience that really needs something to do.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.